from the first day of first grade in elementary school until the 11th grade in high school, I was in a fist fight, at least two of them, every week of my life growing up because of racial things that were said.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Have you ever been rejected over something that was outside your control? Today we'll hear from someone who understands, a man whose mother was Native and whose father was not. He also knows what it means to be a prodigal son.
My name is Paul Frost, and my Native name is Nasakuk. I'm from the family of Uyakuk. Uyakuk was my great-grandfather, and his father was shaman, and his father's father was shaman, and he was shaman. But his dad came to know Christ as his savior and wanted his son to also accept Christ as his savior, and would not teach Uyakuk the ways of shaman. So he went and studied on his own and got a couple other shaman to teach him and practiced shamanism for a while. But he too came to know Christ as his personal savior. And he's often is credited with developing the written Yupik language. So our family, Uyakuk, is known throughout the Bethel area and all the villages up in there, and even down into Togiak. My mom was born into a family of, she had eight or nine brothers. All of them died during the time that they had the TB epidemic and some of the other diseases that were going around in Alaska. It decimated, I mean, just made extinct lots of villages in Alaska. She was the only one that survived of her siblings, and because she was the only one that survived in our culture, she too would have died, they believe, had her mom not given her away to be raised by her grandparents. So she was raised by her grandparents. My dad, of course, is from Martha's Vineyard Island, Massachusetts, so he's Irish. And my parents met while he was in the service, and they got married. But because he was Gusuk, which means a white man in Yupik, she was then disowned. So she had to make a pretty serious decision to say yes and go ahead and get married. But I remember she was told by her grandmother, if you marry a Gusuk, you're dead as far as I'm concerned. And so she was culturally dead. And of course, my great-grandmother lived until she was 104. And my grandmother's 92 now, and she's still alive. And so that's how I came about, is by the union of my mom being 100% Yupik and speaking Yupik and growing up by dog team and dog sled, going to spring camp and trapping and traveling that way. She meets, you know, my dad from the East Coast, and they get married, and we're married for a while. Being exactly half Yupik and half Irish, it's kind of back then, you know, 'cause I was born in 54. So, you know, that was during, you know, I mean, the civil rights didn't take place till the 60s, you know, so, and a lot of people like to think that during those times when I was going to school in the 60s and stuff, that those racial things didn't happen in Alaska, but actually they were every bit as bad as up here as they were down there. And I was called a lot of names, and all I remember growing up from the first day of first grade in elementary school until the 11th grade in high school. I was in a fist fight, at least two of them, every week of my life growing up because of racial things that were said. And I always remember that I was fighting a lot. And then I remembered when the Native kids were they were forced to come into schools, high schools in Anchorage. And I remember seeing these Native kids coming from the villages. And I thought, you know, wow, when they come in, now I'll have friends. You know, I mean, now I'll be able to identify. But they were just as prejudiced as the non-natives were because I didn't know that, but then it was then that I realized that to the native, I was a white person, but to the white person, I was a native. So I was right in the middle. And so I really had to identify with myself. We were rejected by our own family, even now, today, because of the mixed blood. I was born and raised in Anchorage and grew up there. And I went to church all my life, and I came to understand that Jesus loved me because of Vacation Bible School and the preaching, and I just trusted. I guess for every person that in our Yupik language, the best way I can explain it, it's called Tlamak. I don't know if I even pronounced it right, but what that means is when you understand, when this understanding comes on you, when you're aware of your surroundings, when you know your world, you know, it's a, you know, cause some kids, they get their understanding, or they know when they're three. They're, you know, you, if you're a parent, you would understand that. And some, they're 6 years old and still living in this cartoon land, you know, they're thinking, and they don't really understand things that are told to them. They're not aware of the world around them yet. And for me, for whatever reason, I didn't choose to give much time to the messages that were preached about Jesus coming and God sent his son to die. I heard that, and that he died because he had to shed his blood so his blood could cover my sins, and that I was a sinner because I understood that the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I understood all that, but it was up to me to decide whether or not I wanted to have a personal relationship with him. It wasn't that this preacher said it wasn't going to church. It wasn't singing in the choir. It wasn't even serving in the church. It was none of that. He said it was a personal relationship. And I wanted that. I didn't really understand what it meant though, but I wanted that. So because I wanted that and I believed that God loved me and sent his son. I believed that, but what I wanted was this personal relationship, but I didn't know what it meant. So because I believed and I wanted, I decided I was going to invite him into my heart. And how I did that was I went forward and the preacher asked me, "Do you believe that God sent his only son?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Do you believe that he died on a cross and he shed his blood to cover your sins?" And I did. I said, "Yes, I believe that." Then he says, "Do you believe that he rose on the third day and now he sits at the right hand of God?" And I said, "Yes, I do. At 8 years old, I believe that." And then he said, "Well, do you want to invite him into your heart, the Holy Spirit, to come dwell in the temple, in your temple? See, our body is the temple of God if you invite him in." And I said, "Yes, I do." And so he said, "Well, pray with me." And I prayed, "Dear Lord, I believe that you sent your son Jesus, that he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he rose on the third day, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, and I ask you to come into my heart, to save me, to change me, and to take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." I prayed that. And he did. He came into my heart. And he lived there. But like I said, I didn't know what a personal relationship meant. But I wanted it. I understood about being saved, but I didn't know much of anything else. And so I continued to go to church and serve in the church, and I was an usher at a really young age and Sunday school teacher and did van driver and just grew up doing all of that until I was about 17 years old and my parents got divorced. There was a few other things. I don't know why the Lord allowed that, but there was a lot of things that happened during that time in my life. God didn't answer my prayers, obviously, because my parents got divorced anyway. And I got mad at God, and I just didn't think that He cared, and I quit going to church. At the same time, the pastor resigned and quit. So there was a lot of other things going on. And like the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 in the Bible, how he left and went his way, I did that. And for 10 years, I didn't set foot in a church. And I got involved in a lot of things that the devil or Satan or, you know, whatever your name for him is, he wants to kill and destroy. And I was going down that path. I was headed that way and would have done that. I got involved during those times. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline was being built in Alaska. So I went to work on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and I was working on that for a number of years. Got involved in when you get on the pipeline, there's all kinds of drugs and everything going on up there because there's lots of money going around up there. And so I got involved in everything that was going on. And sitting here now, I know that I wouldn't be alive today. I would have OD'd. I had three of my friends overdose and die.
Well, as you can imagine, there's more to the story. But does any of this sound familiar to you? Perhaps you know of someone who once walked with Jesus but now has wandered away. Maybe that's your story. Have you forgotten what your sin cost our Savior and what the Scriptures say? Listen to these words. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. If you would like to know more about how you can be set free, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. Or download the Storyteller Radio app and choose Hope. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also online at facebook.com/ Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to Paul's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.